This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You worship Allah, you don't associate others with Allah. Have fulfilled your right to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbih wa man ihtada bihadyih wa stanna bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our topic for today, inshaAllah, is the most important topic anyone could ever talk about. It is the most, nothing can be more important than it. And this is talking about the Lord of the worlds, Subhanahu Azza wa Jal. And the topic itself is so simple that it makes it extremely difficult to cover. Because when you talk about the one and only, the first without a beginning, and the last without an ending. When you talk about the creator of this universe, that everything that exists other than him is created, and created only by him. There was Allah, and there was nothing else but him. When you want to address this topic, you need workshops. It's not easy to talk about Allah Azza wa Jal as we think, though we have the conviction in our hearts. So, who is the Lord of the worlds? His name is Allah. He's identified by this name. He is the creator of the heavens and of the earths. He is the sustainer. He is the provider for all creations. Every creation of his is in need for him. And he needs no one to help him, to assist him, to be by his side. He needs no one, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, tells us that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to be asked questions by the nomads, we used to be happy because we were forbidden from bombarding him with questions. So out of respect, we did not ask him questions until a nomad, a Bedouin came. Then we were happy because if his question was intelligent, we will learn. So a nomad came and he said, "Oh Muhammad, your messenger came to my tribe and he claims that you were sent. So I'm asking you questions. Who is it who created the heavens?" The Prophet answered, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Allah." One word. "Who created the earths?" He said, "Allah." "Who erected the mountains and what's in them?" The Prophet said, "Allah." So the Bedouin said, "By the one who created the heavens and the earth and erected the mountains and whatever is in them, did Allah send you?" And the Prophet said, alayhi salam, "Yes, he did." If you listen to the answer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to these questions, he did not make a lecture. He simply specified it was Allah. So the name Allah is the name that Allah is identified by. All names go back to this great name. And no one since the beginning of time has ever claimed such a name. And that is why Allah says in the Quran, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا? Do you identify, do you know anyone who is similar to him, who has the same name of him? No one has ever said, I am Allah. Fir'aun said, I am your Lord. أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. But he could not say, I am Allah. Shaitan can never come to you and say, I am Allah. This name, Allah, so beautiful that when you are in distress and it comes from your heart, all your worries disappear. This name was known from the time of Adam till date. All previous nations, all previous religions, all denominations acknowledged the creator of the heavens and the earth by the name Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that the people of Nuh said, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَأَنزَلَ مَلَائِكَةً. If Allah had willed it, then He would have sent down angels. They addressed Him as Allah. So they acknowledge. The people of Hud said, أَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ. Have you come to us so that we only worship Allah alone? So they acknowledge Him by the name of Allah. And even the idol worshippers of Quraysh, there were 360 idols around the Kaaba. And they used to worship each one per day. When the Prophet ﷺ went for Umrah and was blocked on the day of Hudaybiyah, Suhail ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him, at the time was a mushrik. He came as the ambassador to write a treaty with the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet was dictating. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the one writing. He said, write, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Suhail ibn Amr said, oh, wait. We don't know what is Rahman Rahim. Just simply write, we begin in Allah's name. Bismika Allahum. This is what we know. So even the idols acknowledge that His name is Allah. And if you look at our relationship with this beautiful, glorious, magnificent name, you will find that all our adhkar, all our tasbih, all our praising of Allah, we use the word Allah. So we say, Subhan Allah. Alhamdu lillah. Allah Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And everything of importance, we begin by saying, Bismillah. So if I eat and I say, Bismillah, what does this mean? It means I begin to eat in the name of Allah. If I write, if I enter my home, if I ride my car, if I have intimacy with my spouse, if I do whatever I do, before doing it, I begin by the name of Allah, seeking of what? Seeking of barakah from Allah, the Almighty, Azza wa Jal. And this beautiful name, this world will come to an end when there is no one on earth that says Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in an authentic hadith, that the day of judgment will be due. It will come when there is no one on earth who says Allah, Allah. Footnote. People would say, this is why some sects and cults would say, Allah, 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 Allah. And they swirl like fans and they dance and say, this is the hadith. No, this is not the hadith. Never ever the Prophet ﷺ was noted sitting down and saying, Allah, Allah. This is all deviancy. This is all fabrication. These are all innovations. The hadith is referring to a state where Muslims do not use the name of Allah, which means their hearts are empty of the mentioning of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not that you repeat this as dhikr. The name Allah is the name that identifies other names of Allah. So when someone tells you, what is the meaning of Ar-Rahman? You don't say, it is the name of Al-Aziz. When someone tells you, what is the meaning of Allah? You don't say, it is the name of Al-Kareem. No. But when you say, what is Al-Aziz? You say the name of Allah. What is Al-Kareem? The name of Allah. What is Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, Al-Samad, all of these come back to the name that identifies our Lord, the Lord of the heavens and of the earth. An atheist might come and say, Allah doesn't exist. And this is so lame. Because I can say to that atheist, you don't have a soul. And he doesn't. You don't have a brain. Because I cannot see your brain unless I have to crack your head open. And that is not a bad idea, but unfortunately, it goes against Islam. Islam tells us, do not crack anybody's head open. This is prohibited. It's haram in Islam. So how can we answer this atheist? It's very simple. There are three evidences that prove to us that there is Allah. There is this instinctive evidence, something that is built in you and in every human being, even if they claim they're atheists. They will give you a full lecture that Allah does not exist. The minute someone comes to them with a 9mm Glock and puts it in their heads, they said, Ya Allah. They wouldn't go as far as La ilaha illallah, but Ya Allah is good for me. If they're in a plane and the plane is about to crash, ask them afterwards, what were you doing? He said, I don't know, I was just looking up and looking for help. It is natural in all humans that when you are in stress, you tend to look up because it's instinctive. It's something built in you that you realize that only Allah can help you. But of course, when you're saved and you're at the airport and you're in the comfort of your home, you go back to your deviancy and your disbelief, which is self-chosen. Therefore, there is this inner instinctive evidence. Scholars say, if a child was born and were to be left alone without any outside interference, no family interfering, no friends, nothing, he will grow up to believe that there is one Lord who created and who controls and who does everything. He would not be able to pray and fast and give zakat because this has to come from the Quran and Sunnah. But his instinctive, his inner nature shows him that there is Allah. The second type of evidence is the tangible evidences. All physicians, all geologists, all chemists, all people of knowledge acknowledge that this universe cannot be created haphazardly, by chance, by coincidence. You ask an atheist, who created you? He says, nature. What is nature? He says, Mother Nature. But where's Father Nature? I wasn't at the wedding, man. Subhanallah, what kind of nonsense is this? They said, we evolved from monkeys. You talk about yourself. I know where I came from. If you think you came from a monkey, you're right. But where this evolution ended? Yeah, we see monkeys and we see humans. Okay, the monkeys here have been living for the past 100 million years. None of them evolved. We don't have like Monkey Man. We have Spider-Man, but Monkey Man would do a good comic book in between for the atheist. at least make them happy. There isn't anything as such. They say, no, no, this happens, this happened, this did not happen. Listen, Allah says in the Quran, gives you two choices, and the third is the right one. Either you created yourselves, or you created by nothing. So who created you? They would say, nothing. Vacuum does not create any vacuum. Said, okay, we created ourselves. Okay, can you create a couple of twins, please? So no, this is impossible. So then who created you? It's Allah. It's like bringing a pile of metal, putting it in a room, and locking it. Atheist asks me, why are you doing this? I said, inshallah, I will come within 150 million years, and I'll find an M3 BMW. Preferably gray color, leather seats, sunroof. It's crazy. Look at this perfection that we have, and without any doubt, you will say, La ilaha illallah. If the sun would get a mile or so closer to the earth, it will burn everyone on it. If it goes a little bit further, a mile away, it will be freezing. If the moon comes a little bit closer or goes a little bit further, the tide will make the whole earth drown. Who's controlling this? Nature. Yahi, let me meet nature. Maybe you never know. Maybe we can hook up. What is this? What is nature? There is nothing as nature. There is the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at your human body. Look at the eyes, how fine situated they are. They're not out like a frog, and they're not so in. But if you get a punch, Allah Azza wa Jal protected your eye in the cavity in your skull. And look at how beautiful it is when you eat. You never pay attention to what's your tongue doing while you're eating and how it's shifting the morsel from right to left and how it is protecting it so that you can swallow it and that you would not breathe it in into your lungs and die and suffocate. Who's doing this? My small computer in my pocket. Allah Azza wa Jal is, and if you go through the human body, it will take us months to just look at the marvels of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you said that chance, coincidence, nature, it is Allah the Almighty who had created this all. And if you look at the evidences from the Islamic Sharia, you will find that the Quran and the Sunnah directs you to Allah the Almighty, describes Allah to you. You know Allah by His beautiful attributes. All of this shows you and identifies to you who Allah is. Okay, now we know Allah. Alhamdulillah. Does Allah have rights? See, the issue of rights and obligations is also, I don't know if Sheikh Ismail Mufti Ismail Mink has said it and has talked about it, but most likely he did. There are rights and obligations. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal has rights and obligations. Not that it is obliged upon him to do something. No one can force Allah. It is him himself who obliged himself to do something, but he has rights. Your wife has rights. Your father has rights. Your mother has rights. Your children, your neighbors, your kinship. Everyone has rights. The greatest right of all is the right of Allah the Almighty. But what is Allah's right upon us that we have to and must fulfill? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was once on his ride with Mu'adh ibn Jabal behind him. So he asked Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal is a story by himself. If we want to dedicate a lecture on Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a companion who died after serving in Islam for about 10 to 12 years. Yet he was one of the greatest scholars of all times among the companions. No one used to give fatwa except a handful of companions at the time of the Prophet, when he was alive. One of them was Mu'adh. And this man is something else. So the Prophet used to devote a portion of his time to teach him. So he said, Mu'adh, do you know what is Allah's right over his servants? So Mu'adh said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. I have no knowledge, so Allah Azza wa Jal and his messengers know. This is the answer that we all should give when we don't know. Unfortunately, we don't do this. If someone asks me about nuclear physics, I have a theory. Because I know everything. And so do you. And this is problematic. Mu'adh, part of his knowledge, I do not know. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's right upon his servants that they worship him without associating others with him. Very simple. Khalas. End of lecture. You worship Allah, you don't associate others with Allah. You have fulfilled your right to Allah Azza wa Jal. But when you contemplate on this sentence, you can actually author and write volumes explaining them. The hadith itself requires explanation, but let us look at this phrase or this sentence. Allah's right upon his servants that they worship him alone and not associate others with him. So, when we say worship him, worship Allah, what is the definition of worship? People, when you ask them, they will say, pray, fast, give zakat, alhamdulillah, khalas. I did my part. I did my prayer. Why? They said, because Allah told us through his Prophet alayhi wasalam that Islam was built on what? 5 pillars. Now, can you live in a house only with 5 pillars? Where are the doors? Where are the walls? Where are the windows? Where is the split units, air conditioning, bathrooms, kitchenette, etc.? No one. But people, because of their lack of knowledge, think that this is Islam. Khalas. I pray, fast, give zakat, maybe perform hajj, and that's it. No. This is the essence of Islam, but you have to bring the other things to qualify. And this is why worship is defined by anything that Allah loves or is pleased with, from whatever we say or do, whether visible or hidden. So someone says, cracking the head of an atheist, is it something that Allah loves? What is the answer? No. I see people doing this. Maybe they're just looking for something on the thawbah. No, it is not something that Allah loves. Because imagine if each one of us had his own conviction that this brother is an atheist and this sister is an atheist, and they start killing each other, we become in a jungle. This can be only taken part by the Muslim ruler. After going through judicial investigations, etc., and the Muslim judge tells him, yes, he needs to have his skull broken. Then, alhamdulillah, it's not me, it's the ruler who did it. So you have to analyze your life. Let us see what is form of worship or not. So, Sheikh, if I'm kind to my father, is this a form of worship? Does Allah love it? Yes, khalas, green light. Oh, if I'm kind to my brother, to my sister, mashallah, tabarakallah. If I give charity, if I am kind to a dog who is thirsty and about to die, these are all forms of worship. So if I'm on my own walking from here to my car and I say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, form of worship. If I'm intimate with my spouse, form of worship. Ya Sheikh, then we have to work overtime. Do it. Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you reward if you do it. But if you do something that Allah doesn't love, then it's not a worship, it's a sin. So either it's visible or hidden, whether it's something that you say, rhetoric, or you do, it is part of the worship. So Allah's right is to worship Him alone. And this is the message of all messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf in four locations, اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. They used to say to their people, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no deity other than Him. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we certainly sent into every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid the taghut. Anything that is falsely worshipped other than Allah is called taghut. So this is the essence of the messengers of Allah. Their message, to worship Allah. Now everybody is in this beautiful hall is saying, yeah, okay, next, Sheikh, move on. I'm not going to say something new. You're Muslims, you all know this, but we will come to something that will, might, that can be an eye-opener. It might be, and most of you, inshallah, know this, and all of you have correct and clear aqeedah in Allah Azza wa Jal. If you ask any Muslim, why did Allah create us? He will immediately cite and say the ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the humans except so that they would worship me. Does Allah need us to worship Him? Allah is self-sufficient. Allah doesn't need anything. So when you tend to wake up for Fajr Salat, and the water is cold. I don't know if the water is ever cold in Malaysia, but yeah, sometimes you might find it cold. And you think, Ya Allah, why am I praying Fajr? Why does Allah make me pray Fajr? Allah doesn't need you to pray Fajr. Go to sleep, akhi, but you will go to hell. No problem. It's your choice. You want paradise, you have to work. You need your paycheck at the end of the month. You need to come from 9 to 5. You want Jannah, you have to pray. So Allah doesn't need you. Allah created the whole of this universe for you and me to do as best as we can and then go to Jannah, inshallah. Allah did not create us except to worship Him. And Allah does not accept your worship at all unless you have the first pillar of Islam, which is the testimony, which is the kalima, which is the shahada. So without la ilaha illallah, without no deity is worthy of being worshipped other than Allah, Allah will not accept your worship. No matter is it visible or hidden, is it saying or action, Allah will not accept it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal as his judge, his ruler, and his messenger to Yemen, he said to him, and the hadith is in Sahih, you will come to people of the book, Christians and Jews. So let the first thing you do when you call them is to call them to Tawheed. The Arabic word, an yuwahhidullah, to believe in the oneness of Allah. So this is the most important science topic, subject that anyone can talk about. Why? Because if you don't have Tawheed, you don't have Islam. And there are three types of Tawheed. Everyone knows them. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa al-Sifat. And this is all from the Quran and the Sunnah. Nothing from my own pocket. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, what is that? This is the Tawheed of Lordship. This is knowing Allah Azza wa Jal through His actions. So He is the Creator. He is the giver of life and the taker of life. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He is the owner of everything. So tomorrow, when you take some ringgits from your pocket and say, I will give you my money, it's not your money. It's Allah's money. When you calculate your zakat and you find that you have to pay 100,000 ringgits zakat because you're, mashallah, very wealthy, don't think that 100,000, it's a lot of money, I can buy a car. and I can make a car as a taxi, Uber. And then I can make money and invest it in 2 years. I can build a house. And the money is not yours. The money is Allah's. So you have to do what Allah has ordered you to do. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and listen to this beautiful verse and see how the tawheed of lordship is included in it. Allah say, O Muhammad, who provides for you from the sky and from the earth provide? Or who owns hearing and sight? And who brings out the living from the dead and brings out the dead from the living? And who dispose of affairs? Who disposes of affairs? They will say, Allah. The idol worshippers would say, none of our idols do this. We acknowledge. Only Allah can do this. Say, will you not then be afraid of Allah's punishment? So this kind of tawheed, it is shared by us and by the idol worshippers. If you ask a Christian who created the heavens and the earth, he would not say the Holy Ghost. He would not say Jesus Christ, because Jesus was not there at the time. Yet he became promoted and became a god in their view. This is their opinion. They will all acknowledge it was Allah the Almighty. If you ask the Jews, they will say Allah the Almighty. The idol worshippers, which one of your Buddha created, or which one of your cows created the heavens and the earth? They will say, no, it is Allah, the one who created. So this, we have no dispute with the disbelievers. We have great dispute in the second type of tawheed. What is that? It is known as tawheedul uluhiyyah, the tawheed of worship. And this is acknowledging Allah Azza wa Jal by our forms of worship, not to worship any other than Him with whatever we do. So our prayers, our fasting, our charity, our slaughtering, our fear, our love, our hope, our trust, all kinds of ibadah, of worship, can only be devoted, can be only given to Allah the Almighty. And this type of tawheed is where the error has occurred. And for it, the messengers were sent. For it, the books were revealed. For it, Allah created the humans and the jinn. For it, Allah had set the laws that tell us how to worship Him and how not to fall into innovation. For this type of tawheed, the dispute between the prophets and messengers of Allah on one side and their people took place. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad, but we inspired him, saying, La ilaha illa ana. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except me, Allah. So worship me. Also Allah says, that is because Allah, He is the truth, and that which they invoke beside Him is al-batil. It's falsehood. So whoever acknowledges the tawheed of lordship, like so many people in the world, they say, we believe Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider, Allah is the facilitator, but we worship other than Him. In this case, they are not saved and they will be doomed in hell forever because they are associating others with Allah. The third type of tawheed is the tawheed of Allah's beautiful names and attributes. And this tawheed, you may think that we have no problem in this. We acknowledge Allah Azza wa Jal. No, we do have a big problem among the Muslims. Because Allah has described Himself in the Quran. And we read the Quran. And the Prophet has described Allah in the Hadith. And we believe in the Hadith. So what is happening? We see that Allah Azza wa Jal, in this form of tawheed, asks and orders and commands us to worship him through his beautiful names and attributes, and not to associate in these names and attributes other than him. So we believe that Allah has the best of names and attributes, and we believe that Allah cannot be associated with anything that is false or degrading or not befitting Allah. This is why Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. You are denying something. There's nothing similar to him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is all-hearing, all-seeing. And you are approving it. So you approve that Allah hears? Definitely. Allah sees? Definitely. Allah loves? Definitely. Allah loves the believers. May Allah make me and you among those whom he loves. Does Allah hate? Yes. Allah hates, as mentioned in the Quran, those who disobey him. Does Allah have a face? Of course. It's mentioned in the Quran. Does Allah have hands? Of course. Allah says in Surah Sad and elsewhere to the shaitan, why didn't you prostrate to what I have created with my two hands? Now, some people would say, yeah, but Allah doesn't have two hands. Should I believe you or believe the Quran? So, no, this is a figure of speech. Are you crazy? Allah is telling you in Arabic. And you say, no, he didn't mean that. How do you know that he didn't mean that? He said, yeah, because this and that. Listen, akhi. Even shaitan is better than you. Wallahi. Astaghfirullah. Why do you say this, Sheikh? Akhi, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling shaitan, Iblis, what prevents you from prostrating to what I have created with my own two hands? If Allah did not create Adam with his two hands, shaitan would have said, you created me with your two hands as well. But shaitan understood and he believed that Adam, out of all Allah's creation, was created by Allah's hands to honor you, human beings. Everything else was created by Allah's word to be, and it is. Khalas. But this is just to give you a glimpse. So without going into further detail, because it's very easy to win such an argument because we have the Quran and Sunnah with us. This is what Allah told us. This is what the Prophet told us. We believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is above everything. Allah Azza wa Jal is on top of everything. Unlike what thinks the masses and the ignorant and those without knowledge say, Allah is everywhere. Astaghfirullah. Allah says, Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. Allah Azza wa Jal above the throne is subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has risen above the throne. Nothing is above Allah. Nothing can surround Allah. Nothing that Allah is in need of. And you say Allah is everywhere? Is this logical? Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything. Allah Azza wa Jal hears everything. Allah Azza wa Jal has the ability to control and destroy everything. While he is subhanahu wa ta'ala above his throne. He doesn't need to mix with us. When you say Allah is everywhere, this is preposterous. This is inappropriate to claim with Allah the Almighty. So we believe in Allah's beautiful names without any distortion or misinterpretation or denying the reality or even asking how this attribute is, because this is something that we cannot comprehend. But we believe. We believe because Allah told us about it. Now, the majority of us Muslims are in great danger. We are in great danger because the Prophet said, alayhi wasalam, Allah's right upon his servants that they should worship him alone and not associate others with him. We worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. But a lot of us worship others with Allah Azza wa Jal. Astaghfirullah. No, this is true. Don't pretend to be shocked. This is true. And I'll prove it to you But in a very short way so that we can accommodate time. You believe in the Quran, correct? Anyone who doesn't believe in the Quran, raise your hand. Alhamdulillah, watch out. People who crack skulls are ready. So, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in Surah Yusuf, and most of them believe not in Allah except while they associate others with Him. So the majority of people believe in Allah, but at the same time associate others with Him. To the extent that the issue of shirk is a serious issue, a serious topic, if you spend all your life studying tawheed and avoiding shirk, you will be doing a good investment. How come? Listen. Who is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal? Hello? Can you hear me? Who is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He is the most beloved of Allah's creation to Allah. We have no doubt in that. But listen to what Allah says to our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And it was already revealed to you, Muhammad, and to those before you, the messengers and the Prophet, that if you should associate anything with Allah, your work would surely become worthless, and you would surely be among the losers. Allah Azza wa Jal has no relatives, has no favors from others to Him. You are His beloved messenger, but the moment you associate others, He will shun you. Of course, the Prophet would never ever do such a thing. But this is a dire and straight warning to the Prophet and to us. So it's directly to the Prophet, but it's indirectly to us. Because the Prophet would never engage in such evil and heinous acts. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, told us that Allah Azza wa Jal said, I am so self-sufficient that I am not in no need of having an associate. Thus, he who does an action for someone else's sake, as well as my sake, I will abandon him and his action. Allah only accepts what is purely for Him. What does this mean? It means, brother and sister of mine, that we may pray, we may fast, we may give charity, we may do good deeds for 100 years. If we associated other with Allah Azza wa Jal in the process and die upon it, we will be in hell for eternity. Ya Allah, I was worshiping you for 100 years. Where is my prayer? Where is my hajj? Where is my zakat? Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive you this shirk that you had done. But Allah is most forgiving. Listen, Allah says, indeed, Allah does not forgive association with Him, but He forgives what is less than that for whom He wills. So if you drink wine, if you steal, if you fornicate, major sins. You may go to hell for some time. You may be forgiven. It's up to Allah. But eventually you will go to Jannah. May Allah make me and you among those who go to Jannah. If you have some shirk, then you will never be admitted to Jannah, and this is for eternity. Shirk, by the way, is major and minor. So some of the minor shirk, which is greater than the major sins, but lower than the major shirk, Islam has protected tawheed. To the extent that even what you say, though it's minor shirk, you are prevented from saying it. So I can say, Had it not been for Allah and you, I would have been doomed. Shirk, avoid it. If someone says, and this happened to the Prophet ﷺ, a man came and he was giving a speech and said, whatever Allah chooses and you. And the Prophet stopped him and said, Astaghfir, a'udhu billah. Have you made me an associate to Allah? Stop this and say, whatever Allah chooses, whatever Allah wills. Don't put me with Allah. Even if it is what we consider trivial and minor. But the Prophet considered it so bad that he had to tell us not to do it. Swearing by other than Allah, by my mother's head. This is haram, to honor your mother's head. You can say, by my wife's head. But still, this is haram. A lot of the people in Arabia, they swear by their honor. By my honor, وشرفي. Or ورأس أبي, by the head of my father. If I'm lying, may he die. By the Prophet ﷺ, والنبي. They swear by the Prophet ﷺ. They swear by Kaaba, والكعبة المشرفة. All of this swearing by other than Allah is shirk. Islam prohibits it. It is prohibited to pray in the graveyard. It's Asr time. So I'm in the graveyard. Allahu Akbar. Pray Asr. Haram. Your prayer is invalid. Why? Because this is a graveyard. So, this is means of taking you to shirk. Today you're praying for Allah Asr. Tomorrow you pray 2 rak'ah for Mawlana Tijani, Jilani, Badawi, Shadili. This is what's happening worldwide. Some Arab countries, you will find a shrine and a shrine and 6 shrines in between. You lose count of how many awliya and how many righteous people. You tell people, swear by Allah you did not rob. He said, wallahi, I did not rob. Okay, swear by Al-Husayn. So, astaghfirullah, I can't. Now, I have to admit, yes, I did rob. So they fear their awliya, their graves, their shrines, their dargahs, more than they fear Allah Azza wa Jal. This is shirk. Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited us from praying voluntary prayer, sunnah. For whom? For Allah. If it was before sunrise or sunset. Why? Because this is simulating the mushrikeen who prostrate for the sun. So for you not to be imitating them, okay, but I'm praying for Allah, even though. Stop. The Prophet told you to stop. All of this is to prevent us from going into shirk, major shirk. So if this is prohibited in Islam, then what is the ruling on asking someone other than Allah for protection? Will you guys go and say for your saint or peer or whatever, protect me from this or that, or give me this or that? One of the people said, for 10 years I did not have a child. I used to go every week to Mecca for Umrah. And I supplicate to Allah, and Allah did not respond to me. One friend of mine said, Yahi, go to Cairo. There is Masjid al-Husayn. And go to the shrine of Husayn, to the grave, and ask for a righteous child. And after 9 months, his wife gave birth to a healthy child. She said, Subhanallah. What is this? He doesn't believe in Allah, and he believes in Husayn. And the funny thing is, where was Al-Husayn killed? Where was he martyred? May Allah be pleased with him. In Iraq. So they have a shrine of Husayn in Iraq. And they have one in Syria. And they have one in Egypt, in Cairo. So they say that the head is in Cairo, the body is in Syria, and the feet are... What is this? Crazy things. Wallahi, people who claim to be Muslims are so ignorant, are so away from Quran and Sunnah. This is why they do not worship Allah except by associating others with Him. So many people would neglect that Allah is the provider. Oh Allah, forgive me, I have to miss Asr and Maghrib and Isha. Why? My boss is with me in a meeting. If I go for prayer, he may not give me the raise. He may not give me the incentive. He may not give the increment. He may not give me the overtime. He may sack me. So forgive me. He signs the paycheck. Akhi, who signs your paycheck? Who allows you to inhale? Inhale air, not drugs. Seriously, if you inhale, who allows you to exhale? It's Allah's hand. And this is why when Allah wills it, a person inhales and does not exhale. He's dead. خلاص. Allah willed it. So everything in your body moves with Allah's permission, and you want to leave Salat because your CEO is the one who's going to sign your paycheck. And then you say, I'm a mu'min, I have tawheed, I have Islam. Nowadays, as we have 4 minutes to go, I think, though the moderator told me that I can extend it for half an hour more. Seriously. No, seriously, he did. But, inshallah, nowadays, when we talk about tawheed, I can see labels. You can see here labels on top of my head. I cannot read them. You may can read them. Because the minute anyone talks about tawheed, they put a stamp. And maybe at his back. And label him. Akhi, are we talking anything other than Quran and Sunnah? You know, you have Quran. Open the Quran. More than 1,000 times, Allah's name is mentioned. The whole of the Quran, 1/3 of the Quran is on tawheed. Are you crazy? There are people nowadays who are hypocrites or who are enemies of tawheed. They are, wallah, the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are belittling tawheed. Whenever you speak about tawheed, all what they know is tawheed. Is there any more important than the science of knowing Allah, of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal? They said, no, 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 this is an issue of dispute. This is the aqidah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, and the tabi'een, and the tabi'at tabi'een. Bring me anything that goes against their aqidah, I will stand with you and defend you. But if you attack the aqidah and the tawheed of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is treachery. You are betraying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and Islam. Associating others with Allah corrupts your mind. It corrupts your heart. It corrupts your moral ethics and your conduct. It corrupts your minds because this is exactly what the people of hell will confess of. If you go to that specific person before we have cracked his skull and asked him, are you intelligent or not? What would he say? Definitely I'm intelligent. I'm 10 times more intelligent than you and the likes of you who think that there is a God that exists. Do you know what Allah tells us about them in the Quran? Allah says, and they will say, if only we had been listening or reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the blaze. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They have confessed. But it's too late. They're already in hell. It would not help them. So it shirk, associating others with Allah, corrupts your mind. It corrupts and spoils your heart. And this is why when you only believe in Allah and you have tawheed filling your heart, you're the bravest man on earth or woman because you trust Allah. A Bedouin was warned by the colonial powers. That was like 100 years ago. And they told him, listen, the Brits and the Europeans are coming to invade your country. Say, let them come. We will fight them. He said to him, they have aeroplanes. I said, what is an aeroplane? He said, it's a machine that flies like the birds and throws bombs and shells. He said, who's higher? These aeroplanes or Allah? The man said, Allah. He said, Allah will take care of them. This is aqidah. When you have aqidah in your heart, you fear nothing. But when you don't have aqidah in your heart, you fear everything. Everything that happens, you're afraid, you're scared, you're terrified. And this is why you find in countries, nations, and among the disbelievers, a very high rate of depression, of anxiety, of suicide. When you come to the Muslim world, You don't find this. You go to the poorest Muslim who is unable to pay for anything. Salaam alaikum. Alaikum salam. How are you? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. They are grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal despite all the calamities they're under. While those who claim to be civilized and intellectual, they're afraid of everything. And shirk corrupts your moral conduct, your ethics. Whenever you don't have tawheed, then you are worse than the animals. Look at those disbelievers, the way they live. It's fun, it's nice, huh? It's civilized, mashallah. They have beautiful cars, they have beautiful women. Women say they have handsome men, they have money, they have health. Wallahi, they are living in paradise. This is what shows to you. If you go and live among them, like so some of you may have, you can see that they don't have a life. They don't have ethics. They don't have moral conducts. They have homosexuality. They have cheating. They have bribery. They can buy you, sell you for what you have or for what you do not have. They do not have anything that relates them to good ethics, except what can bring them profit. See, the Muslims, because they're far away from Quran and Sunnah, they cheat and lie. Then they're bad businessmen. The non-Muslims, because they know that honesty and saying the truth increases their profits and sales, they're okay. But whenever they have a possibility to cheat the law, to break the law, to evade taxation, like someone you know who did not declare his taxes till today. Wallahi, I don't know how they live, but they accepted him. They can do this. We cannot, because our hearts are filled with tawheed. Now, to conclude, so that I would not take the half hour promised, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that the Jews were divided into 71 sects. The Christians were divided into 72 sects, all in hell. And the Muslims will be divided into 73 sects or cults. All of them are in hell except one. So the companion said, who is this one, O Prophet of Allah? He said, whoever is on my footsteps and the footsteps of my companions. Allah will not accept any of your prayer, fasting, charity, hajj, umrah, unless you have tawheed filling your heart, unless you avoid shirk. And this is, unfortunately, a choice of yours. Why do I say unfortunately? Because a lot of those who grew up to be mushrik will not go back to tawheed. They say, we cannot leave what we found our forefather practicing. This is our culture. This is our so-and-so. You have the choice to end up in paradise or to end up in hell. May Allah Azza wa Jal fill my heart and yours with pure tawheed. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among those who follow the aqeedah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companion. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among those who avoid all types of shirk, major or minor, visible or hidden, said or by action. Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بهجتنا انه يلا اللي تحبوه.